This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Keith Knight has considered himself a cartoonist since he was in diapers, doodling on the walls of his family home in Boston. While the spirit of that creativity has not changed, the content of Keith's work has taken on a more serious tone. Keith is known for drawing a weekly political cartoon called Think that provides commentary on police brutality, racial profiling, and the black experience in America. He also draws a weekly comic called The K Chronicles that documents his own life experiences, including his recent move to North Carolina. Keith is an award-winning cartoonist and one of the writers featured in the Durham Comics Fest, which runs now through Sunday at the Durham County Library. But first, Keith Knight is with me on The State of Things. Welcome. It's good to have you here.
Oh, it is an honor and part of my first-year bucket list in the Triangle to be on the show.
I just learned that you're here. I've been reading the K Chronicles forever, and now here you are.
Yeah, listen, I'm so psyched. This is a great place, and I just want to say quickly, Jasper, Julian, I see you through the radio. Stop doing what you're doing and just listen to Papa.
Those would be the kids, huh?
Yes, yes.
Tell me about you. You are, so who are the people you create? We should talk a little bit about the K Chronicles. For those who have not seen it, tell us a little bit about that. That's kind of the story of your life.
Yeah, the K Chronicles I've been doing since college. So like literally it's been over 25 years. It's been a long, long time. Yes, I'm an old man. It really was an answer. I started up the K Chronicles as an answer to what I saw was just a very bad representation of young black males in society. In the early 90s, like if you were into hip hop, you were a thug or a gangster. And that was not me and my friends. And so I was just like, you know what? I want to do a strip about somebody who's into hip hop, who's also into politics, who's also extremely intelligent. Thank you. And and is nerdy and is into other music too. And so I just felt like, you know, the K Chronicles was a blog before there were blogs. It's my take on all different types of things. And now that there are blogs and people are it's still like an illustrated blog, but I think it's moved beyond. Since I had kids, it's a lot less about me and more about what's going on in the world for them.
In the big wide world. Yeah. So that's the ethos. That's where this comes from. But how about cartooning itself? How long have you been interested in that? Really, diapers? You've been...
Yeah, literally, I've always drawn ever since I was a little kid. And it just, I learned early on that it kept me from getting my butt kicked in school when I drew.
You just like come out with a pen and do something on the wall and the guys just leave you alone.
Pretty much. The first autobiocomic strip I did was about a food fight in junior high. And everyone was talking about it and no one was telling the truth. And so I did this comic about it and I made fun of teachers and students and the lunch ladies. And I was ripping on everybody and no one was getting mad. They were just happy to be in the comic. And I said, man, if I could do this for a job, like this is it. And so I did it for my junior high newspaper, my high school newspaper, and then my college newspaper. And by that time, I was hooked. I couldn't do anything else. So,
well, you say the K Chronicles tends mostly to be personal, your personal take on various things, though you do take on big issues, including HB2. There's a rendition of the governor's buttocks. Here,
yes,
his naked buttocks.
Yes,
that I think is, as far as I can tell, is spot on.
I think it's accurate. I think it's accurate. The internet reveals a lot.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I'm not going to ask you how you did it, but I think it's amazing how you did that.
HB2 is just like, you know, I spent so much time telling everybody how great our move was coming out to North Carolina. It's like, oh, it's great. You know, the Triangle, it's Durham, so great, and Chapel Hill and Raleigh. You know, it's there's no traffic and blah, 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 coming from LA. And but then, yeah, HB2 passes, and it's just like, ugh. When you're inspiring Mississippi, like there are issues. There is a problem with that. And so I did a follow up cartoon about just how many people I know who have canceled their trips to North Carolina, who've canceled. Like it isn't about PayPal. It isn't about Bruce Springsteen. It's about just ordinary people who are just like, it's time to avoid North Carolina. Yeah. Like the business that has been lost, yeah, and the respect that has been lost is you can't put a number on it. And so I hope people are looking to get rid of whoever, you know, passes this stuff. And I'm talking about Democrats, too, people who pass this stuff. It's completely absurd.
Well, let me ask you about that, though. You obviously feel very passionately about this, and it's something that's disturbing to you. And my question is, how do you actually make this into a comic? Like, how do you get what you just said not to be what's on the page and to have this actually funny cartoon with this remarkable rendition?
I try to look at something and see if I have a take that's maybe a bit different than what I've seen out there. And cartooning is such a great medium because it combines text, it combines visuals, and I think good comics have that sort of personality of the creator in there. And I love it when people come up to me and say, "You must have grew up." Even when I was in California in 25 years, they're like, "You must be an East Coaster because the attitude shows in your comics."
Originally from like Boston.
Yeah, from Boston. And I like that shows. what I equate the K Chronicles to is like somebody in a bar having a conversation with you. And they're a little drunk, so you're not sure if they're telling the truth or not. And that's the type of conversation that I want to have with the reader. And I come from my dad's side of the family was were great storytellers. And I just remember being young and being at my uncle's, great uncle's bar downstairs and everybody just like telling these great stories. And I'm like, yeah, I want to do that. And I just have this lovely venue to do it.
It is text and obviously the drawing. To what extent, I mean, do you start writing for, how does it work for you? Do you sketch it out first and then apply text?
You see this notebook in front of me, right? I know everyone else can't, but I carry this notebook with me all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm always doodling. I'm always, sometimes it's text that gives me the idea. Sometimes it's something that happens, something visual. Just something hits that makes me say, okay, wow, okay, that's something right there. And I just run with it there. And I just doodle like crazy and see if I can, you know, then it's like cutting up and trying to streamline it.
But you do start with the visuals and you start with the drawings.
Sometimes it's just some sort of quote or some sort of take,
yeah,
you know. Some people say that my stuff is so wordy that, like the text is almost a character in and of itself.
Well, but it's also rendered in a way. I mean, so that it becomes it's an aesthetic, right?
Yeah.
So when you look at it, it is a character. It's visually appealing and consistent with the drawing itself.
And what I love about comics is it's really the first language that we learn because we learn, you know, street signs or comics, you know, these signals and symbols and all this different stuff. And I don't remember someone teaching me to read left to right, top to bottom. I don't remember someone explaining to me that like there were emotion lines and there were thought bubbles and stuff like that. You just learn that, and it's an amazing language. And once you master that language, it's a lovely thing to be able to use these tools to sort of convey these ideas.
What about we've been talking now about the K Chronicles, but Think is a kind of a one panel the comic that you do, and it's far more political.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us about Think.
I was asked by a website in I think 1999 to do another K Chronicles type of strip, and I said no, I don't want to do the same thing. I want to do something completely opposite. Instead of autobiographical, I want to take it from the news. Instead of multi-panel, I want to do single panel, because there were a lot of ideas that I was coming up with that I couldn't flesh out into a whole cartoon, and so I came up with Think. And Think allows me to do these sort of punches to the gut, like, and very, you know, a lot more simple, less wordy type cartoons. And so it's become sort of this, you know, if I get a certain idea, sometimes it falls into my multi-panel, or sometimes it falls into my single panel, or it goes to my daily. I also do a daily cartoon called The Nightlife that runs in daily papers like The Post, Washington Post, and San Francisco Chronicle.
We have examples of all of your work on the on our website, stateofthings.org. I'm talking to Keith Knight, who is the creator of the K Chronicles. And think you, police brutality is something that comes up often, and sadly, it is in the news again, homicide on our streets.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at this cartoon you did. I don't. When was this done? Is 2011? Is that right? This is the one where it says police officer application question number 6. We see 4 African American men standing before a brick wall. What do you see in this picture? There are boxes next to the possible answers. 1, sons, brothers, fathers, human beings. 2, target practice. Check.
I think that one is actually a very, very early one. I think that's 2001. I've been doing police brutality cartoons for well over 20 years, and it was about a year and a half ago. I was sitting there doing something about Ferguson, maybe 2 years now, and I was doing some research online looking for pictures, and I saw this picture of this young lady protesting. And she had this sign that said, "I can't believe I still have to protest this SH." And just the look on her face and the sign said to me, like, that's exactly how I feel. Like, I can't believe I'm still drawing the same cartoons every time about the same thing. And so I decided, like, let me put this collection together and put it into a slideshow and see if I can just sort of start a dialogue around the country about police brutality and how long it's been going on and why it still goes on, and trace it back to, you know, how it really can be linked to the oppression of blacks all the way back to slavery. And honestly, like, I never took it that far back until I moved to this area. Hmm. And people always say, like, "Oh, you moved to the South. What are you doing that?" And I tell them, like, my understanding of the African-American experience in America, like, I didn't really learn enough about it. And I still haven't learned enough about it, but I learned more in this 1 year here in North Carolina than I have learned in schools in Massachusetts, in San Francisco, in L.A. Like, this is just, it's amazing. And
well, what have you learned?
Just really the details of how horrible slavery was. They will not tell you that in school, how horrendous it was and how systematic it was and how it is connected to Jim Crow. It's connected to the whole drug war and putting people in jail and sort of basically destroying any sort of successful black communities and just all that stuff. And once you understand that, we don't teach that in school. We teach, I mean, the fact that constantly people are posting stuff like, you know, these guys wrote this constitution and all this stuff that all men are created equal and all this stuff. Like, when they had slaves and like black people were considered 3/5 of a human being, like, people don't connect that with the way cops treat black people
with
today.
The persistence of it, the persistence of white privilege that continues through. So slavery ends, but there are systems of you know, sharecropping and other things that many of the aspects of that. Well, what about that? The kind of the way we think, because Americans are famous for wanting to look forward, like, that was then, this is now.
My wife is from Germany, and she, when she came up in school, they made it a point to be taught, like, the teachers taught them every day, like, we screwed up in World War II, and this is the way, this is what happened.
Yeah.
And so they know it so well that they can't do it again. Like, they, and here we don't teach anything. So everyone thinks that, you know, Lincoln freed the slaves, and then suddenly,
yeah, so
black
what
people
happened?
Could get jobs.
Catch up,
and,
will you?
And, yeah, and like all that stuff. So when you link it together, when you understand, when I do my slideshow, I say, like, black people have been enslaved longer in this country than they've been free. And I say, when you break a pencil, it takes a second to break a pencil. It takes a lot longer to put it back together. When you break something, it takes a lot longer to put it together.
You said you've learned a lot about the African-American experience coming here, but you experienced it yourself, profiling.
Oh, yeah. Oh, oh. 10 years after living in San Francisco, I was hanging up posters for my band in my neighborhood at my usual bus stop, and a cop came, lights flashing, speeding up, pulls up in front of me, jumps out. He's like, "What are you doing?" And I had a black stapler. And so I was like, "I'm hanging up posters. I'm going to put this black stapler down." And he started calling on his radio, and cops started appearing down this, all these different streets, and you see them coming towards me. And I was like, "Oh man, like this is the thing that I've been writing about for like 10 years, and now it's happening to me." And I took the time to just look at people looking at me, because I was always that guy looking at the person who stopped and just trying to get a sort of gauge like what they're going through. And I was like, wow, this is happening to me. And I was catching people's eyes, and you could see people just turning away, sort of like, I don't know if they were freaked out by me or just like.
Well, you went off script.
Yeah.
You're supposed to either lower your head or start hurling epithets and give them an excuse.
Yeah.
And you did neither of those things. So now it's like, what do we do now?
What was wild about it. So now I'm surrounded by all these cops. And my roommate, I had a white roommate at the time who was on a bus who was coming down the street. It was turning, coming down the street. And he looked down, he said, off the bus, and he saw all these cop cars around. And he was like, "All right, there's San Francisco police hassling another black guy again." And as it got closer, he was like, "Oh, my God, like, that's my black guy." And he pulls up. And he jumps off the bus, and the bus pulls away. He comes running across the street, screaming bloody hell, going nuts at the cops. And all the cops do is turn around and go, "Take it easy, buddy. Take it easy." And right then, I saw what white privilege was. Because if he was black, if he was brown, they would have tased him. They would have beat him. They would have freaked out. Because he went right at them across the street going nuts. Yeah. I was saying, "Please calm down." But it was a mind blower. But it's one of the stories I talk about.
We're going to have to hear more. We'll have to have you back, Keith. Thank you.
Thank you very
much. Keith Knight, an award-winning cartoonist, one of the writers featured in the Durham Comics Fest that runs through Sunday at the Durham County Library. We have all the details and a lot of Keith's work at our website, stateofthings.org. That's our program for today, produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Will Michaels, Charlie Shelton Norman. Robin Copley is our technical director. Brent Wolf, WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.